Seeker's Bible Study Course, Lesson 4, Salvation from Sin. We have all sinned, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, and we are all worthy of death, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God certainly is full of grace to offer salvation to every person in every nation, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. God shows the depth of His love by even giving us the opportunity to be saved, since we have been rebellious and sinful. But God demonstrates His love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. How does God save us from our sins? He saved us by letting Jesus pay our penalty for sin. Since we are all guilty of sin, we could not take each other's places. Only someone without sin could suffer our punishment. Jesus committed no sin, nor was guile found in His mouth. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. Therefore, He was qualified to take our place. The price God required to save us was the blood of an innocent sacrifice. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Remission means the forgiveness of sins. Though He was not guilty of committing any sins, Jesus was nailed to a wooden cross by wicked and sinful men. He suffered great pain for hours. After He died, a soldier pierced His side with a spear. Blood and water came out. John chapter 19, verse 34. This blood was offered for our sins. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. With this blood, Jesus washes our sins away. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Nothing can make us clean or remove our sins except the blood of Jesus. If our sins are not cleansed by the blood of Jesus, we will be punished by being separated from God and all His goodness forever. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. How much more love could Jesus show than to be punished for our sins and then take His blood and wash them all away? But the question remains, how do you get your sins removed and receive eternal life? Man's part in salvation. Although salvation comes by the grace of God and is available to all, there is a response man must make. Otherwise, all men would be saved no matter what they did, no matter what their attitudes were. Jesus died for everyone's sins, for all the sins of every individual in the whole world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. But not all people will be saved because many will not accept the terms of God's gift. In order to receive salvation, we must meet God's requirements, which are discussed below. First of all, we must believe and know that God exists. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We must also believe that Jesus is His Son, whom He sent to save us from our sins. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe I am He, you will die in your sins. John 8, verse 24. Lesson number 2 dealt with the identity of Jesus. The second step is to repent of our sins. Jesus made it clear that unless we repent, we shall all likewise perish. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. What does the word repent mean? There are several parts to the definition of this word. To begin with, we must understand what sin is. See lesson number 3. Next, we must recognize what sin does to us. It separates us from the fellowship of God and condemns us to eternal punishment. Sin also caused the innocent Jesus to be crucified. He had to shed His blood for our sins. Thinking about these truths should cause us to feel sorrow for what we have done. That feeling of sorrow is not repentance, but it can bring about repentance. For godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Genuine sorrow over our sins will cause us to change our way of thinking and our actions also. John, who prepared the way for Jesus, told the people to bear fruits worthy of repentance. Luke chapter 3, verse 8. In other words, there must be a change in the way we live. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. If we are ready to change the way we live, doing God's will instead of our own, then we should be ready to confess before men that Jesus is the Son of God. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, Acts chapter 8, verse 37, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Faith and confession of Jesus are combined in the passage cited below. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. The last step in having one's sins removed is to be baptized for their forgiveness. Faith and baptism are combined in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, in which Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Notice that salvation occurs after a person both believes and is baptized. It is not a matter of doing one or the other. Both are necessary before sins can be washed away. The New Testament book of Acts contains several accounts of people being saved from their sins as the gospel spread into the entire world. The very first gospel sermon was preached on the day of Pentecost after Jesus had ascended into heaven. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And after the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Peter's sermon convinced many that they had crucified Jesus, the Son of God. And then they cried out asking what they should do to be forgiven. Acts chapter 2, verses 36 and 37. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. These people had become convinced through Peter's preaching that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. Since they believed that fact, they wanted to know what else they should do. Peter told them to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. The solution to the problem of sin is the same today. Anyone who wants to be saved must repent and be baptized in order for his sins to be forgiven. It is not the water that cleanses us. Jesus washes away our sins in his own blood. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. He washes them away when we are baptized. Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Why does he wait until then to do it? Lesson number 5 will show the answer to that question more clearly. But part of the reason is that he has given us a commandment. Will you willingly obey it? There is also an antitype, which now saves us, namely baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Have you been baptized scripturally? Please notice that we are not asking if you have been sprinkled as a baby. Many people have been sprinkled with water when they were still babies, but sprinkling does not constitute scriptural baptism. Sprinkling as a substitute for baptism started only in the 3rd century and is based only on human tradition. Matthew chapter 15, verse 9. The first person who received sprinkling as a substitute for immersion was Novatian in the year 250 AD. What we are asking is this: did you receive the kind of baptism that was commanded by Christ? Did you receive the right kind of baptism that we can read about in the New Testament? Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Secondly, have you been baptized for the right reason? Many in some denominations have been immersed in water, but they were immersed for the wrong purpose. Some say that baptism is just an outward sign of an inward grace. Those who espouse this doctrine claim that they were baptized because they were already saved. Such teaching contradicts the plain and simple statements of Jesus Christ and His apostles. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. The traditions of men make our worship and even our obedience to God a useless thing that He will not accept. If you want to do what is right and be baptized scripturally, we would be glad to assist you in whatever way we can. You may write to our address or call us. See the copyright page for this information. Lesson 4 questions. Fill in the blanks with the proper answer. Number 1. Jesus committed no. Number 2. Jesus shed His for our sins. Without it, there is no. Number 3. When a soldier pierced his side and came forth. Number 4. In order to be saved, we must believe that God is and that Jesus is His. Unless we believe, we shall in our. Number 5. Sin separates us from the of God and condemns us to punishment. Number 6. God commands all men everywhere to. If we do not, we shall all likewise. Number 8. Repentance means denying and worldly. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Number 8. Peter told people on the day of, to, and the, for the, of their. Number 9. The of Christ washes away our sins. We are baptized. Mark the following statements, true or false. Number 1. There are some nations to which God will not give grace. Number 2. Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. Number 3. Jesus washes our sins away with His blood. Number 4. All men will be saved no matter what they do. Number 5. Repentance means feeling sorry for our sins, but we do not need to change the way we live. Number 6. Confessing that Jesus is the Son of God precedes salvation. Number 7. Baptism has nothing to do with salvation. Number 8. Salvation occurs after one has believed and been baptized.